Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, we go to Red Lodge, Montana, to visit Mas Taco, a Mexican taqueria specializing in burritos, tacos, quesadillas, and empanadas. 7 years ago, Chef Mike Muirhead opened this eatery when he relocated from Southern California to return to his wife Jenny's hometown. In those years, he's been recognized twice by the James Beard Foundation in 2016 and 2017 as a semi-finalist for the Best Chef Northwest. We talked to Chef Muirhead about his background and his food. We meet up with him at Mas Taco, an old remodeled gas station on the main drag. Let's begin with his recognition by the James Beard Foundation and how he discovered he was a semi-finalist.
So we were looking online, just looking at the nominations randomly, and that's when we noticed my name was in there, and I had no idea that I was going to see that. So that was quite an honor and quite surprising.
The names for nomination come in through the call for entries on the James Beard Foundation website, open to the public as well as from judges. There can be dozens, sometimes hundreds, depending on the category. This last year, for Best Chefs Northwest, there were 300 chefs. Then it is reduced to 30 to 50 names. From there, a secret committee determines the final list of 20 semifinalists. So how has the recognition influenced Mas Taco?
The first year that we had this nomination, we got the news, I think it was in February, and we noticed an instant spike in business for the rest of that winter. A lot of people from Billings, a lot of people from northern Wyoming, curious, coming to check us out. And so it was awesome, yeah. And we would ask, how did you hear about us? And, or people would come in and ask, say, hey, we saw that you were nominated. And so it definitely had an impact.
At 2 in the afternoon on this Wednesday, business is still brisk. Patrons come in through the door, study the menu, and then order at the counter. In the summer, there's patio seating. But inside the restaurant, there is only room for 13 to dine. For those who do secure the few counter seats, there is a great view of the action in the kitchen. Chef Muirhead shares Mas Taco's background.
So this used to be originally built as a Conoco gas station back in the early 20th century, and I think it was through the 1940s. It's been a lot of other businesses since then, but the latest business it was before we bought it was a fly shop. A little fly shop here. Well, we made it 762 square feet from the original. I think it was about 350. We took out the main front door and we moved it for logistical purposes, and we ended up turning the front door area into a window, and we saved the original door, and we've installed it in our building here as a historic feature.
On the north wall of this intimate eatery is the open kitchen with the work area, stovetops, and grills.
We don't have a walk-in refrigerator here. We have all online refrigeration and reach-in cooler. And we've kind of outgrown our space. Now, we've been here almost 7 years. And it's one of the reasons we actually rent an outside kitchen now to support Mas Taco and also for catering. And we've got into retail. We're packaging some items also and selling them in local markets.
And what is that you're packaging?
So we are packaging. Our first thing we started with were our pickled carrots, and which we're going to demonstrate later on. And we also do our salsa roja, which is what we serve with our chips. We do hand-pressed corn tortillas. We sell them in a market down the street. And we do bean, cheese, and rice burritos. We sell those also in the frozen section for people to take on the run.
I'm glad to know about your tortillas, because we're going to have to get some before we go home.
They're carrying them at Moon Lake Market, and then we also sell them at East Rosebud Store on the trailhead there. And they come once a week and pick those up. So it's been going very well.
Don't you make a couple kinds of tortillas here?
We make our corn tortillas for the tacos, okay. And we do them for the empanadas. Those are the only. We do not make flour tortillas just because of space constraints. But we just do the hand-pressed corn.
One of my favorites on the menu is the empanada or turnover, which is traditionally a Spanish fried pastry made with dough similar to pie dough and then filled with sweet or savory fillings. Mas Taco has its own interpretation of this item.
So the empanadas that we make here are, if you went to Mexico and you ordered that there, you'd be calling it a quesadilla. And it's made with corn masa there, and it's shaped the way you see it, like a half moon folded over and fried crispy. The traditional style are made, like you said, with a pastry dough, and it's more of like an Argentine cuisine. So I have a friend who lives down, he's from Mexico and he lives in Los Angeles, and he has a taqueria down there, good friend of mine, and he started making them down there, and he showed me the style of how he did it and explained why the Mexican version, because we also like to do our do the Americanized quesadillas here. So if we call them quesadillas, it'd just be confusing for the customers. So even though we know that's not the authentic empanada, and we have to explain that periodically, we do it for just simplicity so people can order.
For the customer, it may be simple to order, but in the kitchen, it's not all that simple.
Now, as far as the masa goes, do you make your own masa?
We actually get the masa already into the powder form, and we make our own masa dough. But we don't do the whole process of grinding the corn and whatnot.
Yeah. But it's still impressive that you make each individual tortilla that goes out.
And we do. Yep, we do every taco to order, hand press to order, no matter how busy it is. And same with the empanadas. We hand press them as the order comes in and fry them on the spot. So that's why they're crispy and they taste like they just came right out of the fryer, fresh.
They are fresh and delicious.
We now leave the main restaurant to walk down an alley to the annex, to the old hospital. Mount Maurice Hospital, a brick building built in 1909, has a two-story castellated round tower at the southwest corner. It was one of the several private hospitals constructed to serve minors, with apartments for doctors and staff on the second and third floors. Later, it was used as the annex for the courthouse. These days, offices and the new Cafe La Vida, a coffee shop and crêperie, occupied a building. Mas Taco do their prep and retail production downstairs in the old morgue. As we walk, we talk to Asano Atsu, Mas Taco's general manager. She is the person you will most likely order from when you step into the restaurant.
Used to have a base here, so I was here only for the summertime.
Okay.
And then I met my husband here. He's from Carbon County.
I see.
So yeah, one thing led to another, and I'm still here.
How many years have you been here?
About 12 years, I'd say.
Okay. Yeah. You're a native.
Kind of.
What is the cutoff? Is it 10 years?
Yeah.
That's why I was here.
Have I surpassed it?
I think so.
It sure feels like home.
As Atsu moved from lead instructor to course director to eventually operations manager for the Outward Bound Wilderness Program in Montana, she eventually met her husband, Paul. Then, in 2016, after working at the Red Lodge Fire Department as their volunteer coordinator, she started work with Mirhead. Atsu has her hands in everything at Mas Taco.
Yeah, so this kitchen here, this is the annex building. It used to be originally at the town hospital. We prep it here for our restaurant, for catering, and for the retail packaging. So all those tomatoes there are going to be turned into salsa in the next couple days. For example, we actually rented Bridge Creek Kitchen all last summer when it was vacant. And before that, we were renting by the month here and there for the middle school because they're on summer vacation. So we would use that space. And each of these places have walk-in coolers, which is huge. So we got our deliveries here now and just take over to Mas Taco daily what we need.
So you get a little exercise. You have to schlep everything up the street.
Back and forth. Yep. Right up and down the alley.
Atsu has other thoughts about the new exercise regimen.
We talked about getting a golf cart, but it hasn't materialized.
Now Chef Mirhead takes us through making escabeche, or pickled vegetables.
So these are our pickled carrots, escabeche, we call it in Mexico. So what we did here is we took about 8 quarts of carrots, peeled them, sliced them on the bias, took jalapenos. Here, I think there were a dozen of them, cut in quarters and seeded. A couple onions sliced, and garlic cloves at the ends cut off. And it equals about 12 quarts here, pot it. So what we do, a couple pots.
Into one of the pots is the pickling solution.
So we take white distilled vinegar, and we're gonna do, let's see, so first sugar, 4 cups of sugar. 4 cups of water just happened to appear. And 8 cups of white distilled vinegar. At the same time, I'll pour these into this pot with a little bit of canola oil, some heat. I'm gonna sweat them a little bit and get them coated with oil. Pinch of salt. Give them a stir. Kind of coat them with oil. 2 tablespoons of marjoram, the herb, not margarine. We once had a cook, he threw a bunch of butter in here. I said, why do you put butter in the pickled carrots? He said, because I couldn't find the margarine. I said, marjoram!
They're not the same.
We have learned margarine is not the same as marjoram. But what about the difference between oregano, which we may be more familiar with, and marjoram?
It would remind people of oregano a little bit, but it seems a little more floral. That's how I would describe it. It's used in a lot of French cuisine. It's very popular in France and along the Mediterranean.
To me, it gives it a little bit of different twist in the pickling process than like a dill, which is always associated with like a dill pickle, you know. But marjoram has that little bit of tang, but it's that floral kind of twist to it. So I think that gives it a unique flavor profile.
Generally, the time it takes for that mixture to boil will coincide with the sweating of the carrots. As long as you keep the flame right and keep mixing them around. And when they are, we will combine them together.
So why don't you summarize again?
So we have two pots. One of them, we put a little bit of canola oil in it, and we add the solids, which will be the carrots, the jalapenos, the onions, and the garlic. Pinch of salt, just a little salt to kind of get going into the flavor of the carrots. And the other pot, we put the mixture of vinegar, sugar, salt, water, marjoram, and bay leaves. And we turn that on high, and the idea is to get this to a boil. At the same time, these carrots are sweated, just lightly sweated. The oil coats them, so that'll make all the spices stick to the carrots later. And when we're finished, we'll pour all these carrots, the carrot mixture, the vegetables, into a container, pour the boiling liquid over it, and then seal it airtight. And by the time that cools all the way down, the carrots are perfectly pickled. And they can stay in that mixture for, we've tested them up to a couple months.
A large container like that, I'm going to say it probably takes, what, a couple hours to cool down?
Yeah, it takes a while. And we like to cool down at room temperature, just to cool down slower, so there's more time for the heat of the pickling mixture to get into the vegetables.
And once the pickles are made, and you recommend storing the pickles in the refrigerator?
Yes, we recommend doing that. Yeah, but you could leave it out for home purposes if you wanted to. If you had it at home and it was out all day, it would be fine. But for us in the restaurant business, we like to keep everything, restaurant, longer shelf life. We sell these in 4 markets around town, and they keep them in the refrigerated section. We sell them by the pint.
Is there a level of hotness to these, or are they?
It varies. The jalapenos vary greatly in the temperature and as far as the heat level, the spice level, but the carrots themselves don't seem to take on the heat as much, but the peppers can be very hot inside. And the pickled garlic is delicious. We always encourage everybody. We put these on our plates at the restaurant, 1 carrot per plate or some maybe a garlic clove. We always watch to make sure they're going to eat it. Some people don't.
Oh, well, I should steal them off their plates then.
Pretty traditional in Mexico to get this. A lot of, also radishes, for example. They say it's good for your digestion when you're eating spicy foods. It's a tradition.
Well, and I think that it gets your appetite going.
Yes.
It's that balance of flavor.
I agree.
Now that you have your appetite going, come back to the second part of Flavors Under the Big Sky to find out more about Chef Muirhead and the food at Mas Taco. Welcome back to Flavors Under the Big Sky. We are in Red Lodge at Mas Taco with James Beard Foundation recognized chef Michael Muirhead. Let's find out how cooking came into his life.
I started in the restaurant business actually as a busboy when I was 15 years old in Los Angeles, downtown LA. I have an uncle who's in the restaurant business in California. He opened a brand new restaurant back in the mid-80s up in Camarillo, California, and it was right during that whole California cuisine phase. Parkway Grill, all those California cuisine restaurants. He opened a restaurant called the California Grill in Camarillo back in the mid-80s. And I was 17 years old when he opened it, and he offered me a job.
And did you live in that area? Because it's near Santa Barbara at that time.
Yes, near Santa Barbara. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, and at the time when he opened it, I was traveling in Australia. And I was there with a friend of mine. We were just surfing and just enjoying life. He offered me a job, and I returned. So I talked to him on the phone, and we set up a time for me to come in. And I, when I got back, I went up to Camarillo. And when I was 17, I left my home and moved up to Camarillo, lived in an apartment with my uncle and the head chef, actually. And I started working there shucking oysters. They had an oyster bar, big pantry area where they did all the appetizers and the salads. And so I started learning that. And I worked there for about 3 years. And along the way, I became the lead line cook there in the 3 years because a lot of turnover, a lot of rotation and staff. And so I just kept moving up station by station. And as I did that, I realized how much I really enjoyed working in the kitchen. So I never really planned to go into the culinary world. It just kind of happened. And I was in high school at the time, so I was going high school and working there full time. So it was a lot of work.
So everything you learned has basically been hands-on.
Everything's been hands-on. I have no former culinary training at all. I've kind of self-taught. I traveled a lot to work. I went back to Australia later, and I worked there, but it wasn't for... I didn't go there for culinary purposes, but I did work there. And I also went to Italy. I worked in Italy, went there for work, and I lived in Florence for 6 months. And worked in 2 trattorias and a restaurant there. That was a self-educational trip for me.
And did you cook in those restaurants?
I cooked. Yeah, I cooked in those restaurants. But along the way, I worked with some really talented chefs. I was lucky when I moved to Santa Barbara. That funny you mentioned that. After Camarillo, and I worked with a chef there named Norbert Schultz. He was a master chef from Germany, and he had a little restaurant there. It only sat about 20 people, and it was called Norbert's. And it was back then. It was famous. All celebrities would come in, and all of the dinners were either 7-course or 4-course meals. And he grew most of the stuff right outside. It was a little cottage house on a side street. I think he was probably my biggest mentor at the time. And we did everything in house from scratch. So I just kind of dove in, and he had another restaurant there, which was my first chef job. I was 22, and I took over the nighttime chef position. And that was right on State Street in Santa Barbara. It was called Brigida's, named after his wife at the time. But I mean, I could go on and on. I've worked in about 24, 25 different restaurants.
Well, it seems like you may be eliminating or not talking about the restaurant that's probably most famous that most people know, and that was Spago's in Los Angeles. And you worked in that kitchen, is that correct?
I guess I started there in 1998, Spago Beverly Hills. They had just opened. I was a sous chef there for 3 years, and we did all the catering as well. I was a second in command of the catering. I worked for the head catering chef there, Matt Benchivenga, and Lee Hefter, who's the head chef, and he's still the head chef today of all the Spagos worldwide. So that was probably the best culinary experience for me, education-wise. We did the Academy Awards. We did all the high-end stuff there. That was before they moved their catering operation off-premises to Hollywood and Highland. This used to be all in-house there. It was a crazy operation. It was so busy. We'd have 50 cooks in the kitchen at one time between lunch and dinner, and it was just an amazing experience.
Was that more that excitement of working with a big team like that, or was it learning about new ingredients, or just the movie stars?
I would say it was a little bit of everything. I mean, working as a team with everybody was great because I worked with a lot of good cooks. In fact, all those cooks that worked there with me back then, now they either head chef restaurants or they own their own restaurants. Virtually every one of them. So, and we also get together periodically. I was down there not long ago and got together with a few of them and kind of call ourselves the Spago Beverly Hills alums.
It's a great alumni to have come from because that was the happening restaurant at that time. Yeah. And then did you go back to Camarillo to do a restaurant with your uncle? Had another restaurant, is that correct? Mm-hmm.
So that restaurant that I started in, California Grill, was still going strong in the early 2000s, and he needed a chef at the time. So I was co-owner of a catering company at the time, and I ended up leaving that to go and take over as the head chef at his restaurant. And during that time, we formulated a plan to open a larger, more upscale restaurant in Camarillo as well. And that restaurant was called Sapphire. We developed the menu, we developed the restaurant, we designed it, and we ended up opening that space in 2007. And we were partners, general partners, and we had 21 limited partners. So it was a big operation. It was a $2 million restaurant. So we partnered up on that, and I was the head chef there. And I was there for about 5 years. And after that time, I made a relocation to Red Lodge. So.
And why Red Lodge?
My wife's from Red Lodge. Her family's from Red Lodge. Her father was born and raised in Cody, Wyoming. They had a bed and breakfast here for 30 years, the Willows Inn here in Red Lodge. Their daughter's Jenny, my wife Jenny. Bojo is her maiden name. And I was coming here since 2001 when I met her, just visiting. And I love the outdoors. I'm outdoorsy. And being from California, there's beautiful Sierras, and it's beautiful down there. But when you're here, it's...
You can't surf, though.
You can't, yeah. I kind of traded my surfboard for like a mountaineering axe at one point. We ended up moving. We were pregnant with our first child and our only child. And during that time, we thought we would make a life change. And I loved coming here. And one day I approached my wife and said, how would you like to think about relocating to Red Lawn? And she was blown away. She couldn't believe that I was actually saying this because she loved it here. And so I actually took a trip a year before I moved here on my own just to come up in a couple of weeks in Montana just to kind of see, just feel it out. And I went to Bozeman. That was our original plan, to move to Bozeman. Because we wanted to have a restaurant, but we didn't know if Red Lodge would support such a thing. I didn't know. So we made the decision. So I got out of the partnership in California, and we relocated up here when my daughter was 6 months old. We figured it would be a great place to raise our daughter, small town, being near the grandparents, and being in the outdoors. So we did. We came to Red Lodge. We stayed with my in-laws for 1 year, planning to move to Bozeman. And while we were here, we were fortunate enough that my wife was able to take her job and work remotely. And that little fly shop came available. So we had the vision of a taqueria there. So we pursued it.
My question to that is, why tacos? Because as we hear your history, I did not hear you working in some back room, small taqueria in LA somewhere. So where did that idea come from?
So two reasons. Number one, being from Southern California, our favorite food is probably Mexican food. Yeah, and being here in Red Lodge, when we first got here, there was no Mexican food here. There's one restaurant down that has a Mexican part of the menu, but it's not really a Mexican restaurant. So that was the first reason. And the second reason, even though I never cooked Mexican food professionally before, I worked with so many people from Central and South America and Mexico, and we used to eat and cook the food in the back kitchen my whole career. And all the guys that I worked with, I love those guys and I love their culture. And it's kind of an homage to all those people that I worked with throughout the years, I would say.
And you named the place, so Mas Taco. Why Mas Taco?
We say it's Mas Taco. It's catchy. And we say it's about quality, not quantity. Mas Taco.
That's
more
great.
Taco.
Okay. So we got the Mas Taco and the logo. Explain that.
So the logo, our specialty at Mas Taco is our Al Pastor, which is the achiote rubbed pork shoulder that we cook on our vertical rotisserie. And it's a Mexican tradition. A lot of people in Montana, Mexican restaurants, have Al Pastor on the menu, but I've yet to see it actually spinning on a vertical rotisserie in the state. I would love to know if there is some, because I would like to go try it. The logo is a pineapple with a pig snout, because the pork is roasted with a big chunk of pineapple on top of it that drips down through the pork. And that's the basis of the logo.
Well, and your menu is actually really smart, because you get to choose what goes in as the filling that you've talked about, the Al Pastor, and then the style. Tell the listeners about that.
So we kind of simplified the menu. The menu items have been there pretty much since the day we opened. We've added quite a bit of stuff to the menu. But a lot of people think it's a small menu, but when you really look at it, you could mix and match so many different things. We figured that you could have 40 or 45 different combinations on our menu there, which I think for a little spot, it's pretty good. And we've talked about maybe adding some things and taking some things off. But like I said before, we have such a great local following, and just thinking of taking one of those items off the menu, it just would break somebody's heart. So we just won't do it.
It would be revolt. So start with a little bit, because you know, you have a style, you have some of the known, you know, styles that people are familiar with. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so we have five different, we call them fillings, but what they are is four meat choices. This is our basic menu, and we have a vegetarian option. So we do our shrimp, which is a mojo de ajo, which cooked with toasted garlic, lime, and cilantro. We do our braised chicken, pollo, our al pastor, that I mentioned earlier, and we do a carne asada skirt steak, and then we have rajas, which is a roasted poblano and onion mixture. And there's five different things, and then we also have, there's five ways you could have it. You could have it either as a burrito, a taco, empanada, or a quesadilla, but we also have a salad on the menu, and the salad could take any one of those proteins as well. So we just divide it up to make it more simplistic for people to order, and it's a way that they understand a little bit easier and quicker. They could see it more in a visual way.
Well, you make everything homemade, because I've been here when you've made your tomatillo sauce. You know, everything goes in the blender. You roast everything. You chop everything up. So you're not having the big food truck coming in and bringing you your ingredients as far as already pre-made.
Yeah, that's correct. We do everything from scratch. So, for example, this time of year, we're there by 6:30 in the morning to open at 11 a.m. So it's 4.5 to 5 hours worth of prep every morning just to get everything ready. And it's been so busy that, you know, nighttime, we're just blowing through all of our ingredients. We make everything from scratch. We make our sour cream. We make our queso fresco cheese. We make all of our salsas, all of our marinades, all of our sauces. And we do it from raw ingredients every day. So it's great, because everything's very fresh. And the cooks that work there love it because they get to learn a lot of stuff, making things from scratch, not opening cans. So we're real proud of that. Very proud of that.
Where are your cooks coming from and how big is your staff?
Well, our staff's never quite big enough. But the cooks are coming mostly local, but this year and last year we've actually put ads out nationwide, and we've brought in some staff members from, we had one person come in and work from Florida, we've had a couple from Colorado, and every now and then I bring guest cooks in or guest chefs in that I know. They work maybe for a month or two in the summer and they're friends of ours, and makes it more of a fun environment when it's busy.
Well, plus it's a great learning experience for them to be able to work with you.
Yeah, they seem to really enjoy it. Yeah, and they're very helpful. We have a lot of catering as well. So we've been doing a lot of weddings this summer, and we have a whole different staff for catering that's outside the restaurant that we hire as needed. Yeah, so if you're looking for work and you want to work in a Mexican restaurant, just look me up, Mike at Mas Taco.
I love it. Let's go through a little bit. You have daily specials. Does that change, or is it really Taco Tuesday always, and you have the wet burrito on Saturday?
So originally we had daily specials. Every day was the same, and we would add other specials as well. And we still do that periodically. The Taco Tuesday thing is pretty new, and we change that up every week. We also do a vegetable empanada every Thursday. So that changes every week, and it comes with a salad on the side. We have a lot of vegetarians in our community, vegans, we have gluten-free. So we accommodate all the dietary restrictions here. And we're really lucky because we know everything that goes into all of our dishes because we make it all from scratch. So if somebody comes in and they're celiac and they ask a specific question about what they can eat and what they can't eat, we know instantly what they can and can't eat. And luckily we do most of our business with corn, hand-pressed tortillas. So we're very accommodating when it comes to vegetarians, dairy-free, all the allergies.
Red Lodge, the town under the Beartooth Mountains, has become less of a hidden culinary gem. Chefs like Muirhead have brought new innovation to the loco cuisine.
When we first opened Mas Taco, there were the handful of restaurants here that have been here for many years. But in the last few years, it's just booming here. You know, we have some good chefs in town, and I think it's great for everybody here. It brings up people from all over. Billings, they come in and then they know they can come in, and there's different culinary choices here. I think it keeps people in town. The hotels are filled. People have more options. I'm proud of the town, and the cuisine has become cutting edge. We have a crêperie in town. We have handmade ice cream place that just opened in town. We have an awesome bakery. We have, Prerogative Kitchen with Chris Lockhart. He's doing a great job. We have the Ox Pastures bringing rotating chefs. We have Sicilians in Red Lodge making Italian cuisine. Who would have thought? People are just blown away by that. They're coming from New York and just making it a fun environment here. It gives us restaurateurs somewhere to go out at night as well when we get off work.
So what, Mas for Chef Muirhead?
Yeah, we just hope to continue for many more years and just keep up the quality that we've been doing for the last 7 years.
Many thanks to Chef Mike Muirhead and Asano Atsu of Mas Taco for making our world Mas Delicioso. Flavors Under the Big Sky has been produced with the help of Ken Seabird. Theme music is by Parker Brown. Additional funding has been provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communications on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanians. For more information about this show and the recipe for escabeche, go to ypradio.com. I'm Stella Fong.